D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas that's Mauricio, me. And your host, David Romero.
Hey, that's me.
But you know what we got to wait for?
Yeah.
My self-esteem boost.
Yeah.
Here we come.
Who you love, baby?
B's and B-boys. I love this book.
There it is. There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elsonson.
How you doing?
To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
I'm here in present.
I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host, and for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information than anybody needs to know. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're going to do ESPN 97.7 BS and Beer style. Boys, I'm back from vacation. I'm feeling spry. Look at his tan.
You look tan, man.
Look at his tan. Boy, I'm feeling good. I got my new, you see my skull helmet there.
I see that.
Yeah, Saints. Yeah. It's going to chase away all the bad spirits of injuries. Matter of fact,
Voodoo Guru.
I know y'all don't listen to the show. I know it hurts my feelings.
I listened to your drunken podcast.
Did you listen to
it? Yes, I listened to your drunken podcast. Well, you said the same thing 5 times.
I did say a lot of stuff over and over.
I was like, wait a second, I thought I said that right. Wait, I thought you said that right.
I didn't listen to it until I got on the plane the next day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
And I repeated myself over and over, like most drunk people do.
That's correct.
On the beaches of Cancun. But I did, what'd you think of the Man on the Beach segment? No, not a fan.
Not a fan.
All right, for those who haven't heard it, I got a sample. Hold on.
All right, it's Dave Romero, the BS and Beer podcast. I'm out here on the beaches of Cancun, and my server, what is your name, young lady?
My name is Delvi.
Delvi, you're a beautiful woman. You have a boyfriend?
Boyfriend, husband, lover, and
nice. I forgot I'm in Mexico. Oh, yeah. So does he American football or soccer?
Soccer.
Do you sometimes sit around the house and wish you were with a man who liked real football, like American football?
No.
All right. So I bought this as a souvenir on the beach. It's a skull, and it has the Saints on it. What do you think?
Oh, that's nice.
People give me a hard time about it.
They gave me a hard time, and in my mind's eye, I thought she was supportive. Yeah. But in hindsight, I'm thinking maybe she wasn't that excited about my new Saints helmet.
She wasn't impressed, Dave.
Now, you know what? If you want to, you can go to Twitter, Saints BS, and you can find a picture of the helmet that we're talking about. It's pretty cool. I think it is. It, like I said, chases away all the evil spirits of injuries and losses and bad play calling. And so we should have a perfect season this year. I'm expecting it.
16-0,
no injuries, just rolling through.
There you go.
Rolling through.
All right, if you think so.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Saint Skull is going to help us out.
Well, in addition to that.
Filled up with tequila at some point?
No, I was the one filled up with tequila. Believe me, that day, it was the last day I was out there, and that day was not a good. It was a long day. That podcast took about, it probably took less time than I thought. I said I started about 8:30 in the morning. And I passed out about 3:30 in the morning, or 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I had a good time with it. I don't know if anybody else did.
A good time? I laughed, once I heard it the third time.
Yeah, you're like, man, that guy. I tell you what, we have all kinds of things going on for you. It's our first show here on ESPN 97.7, but we've been doing this show for about 2 years now.
That's right.
And we have things like the next segment, we're going to have the good, the bad, the ugly. Now, one of the things I defined, unlike last year, we had the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I felt like I need to revise that a little bit because I think we spent 2/3 of the time talking about the bad and the ugly and only 1/3 of the time talking about the good. So now it's going to be the good and the bad and ugly. Maybe last year we might have deserved to have 2/3 of it.
There was a whole lot of bad and ugly last year.
Yeah, but it won't be this year.
But that's before we even get to the Saints. That's just the show.
That's right.
All right, so then, but this year, so obviously today, since we don't have a game to do a review on, we're going to do a good, bad, ugly.
Well, we have a game we can review.
Well, now, hang on. Can you let me finish?
No.
Can you let me finish?
No, go ahead.
All right. We're going to do it for the whole training camp.
There you go.
There we go. Now we're going to talk about
the whole preseason.
All the training camp. What's good, what's bad, what's ugly. Oh, I'm sorry. Good, bad, and ugly. All right. So we're going to. All right. Then we're going to have, listen, my favorite segment. And I didn't even tell Heath about this yet. But I gave you your own segment, Tomas. It's a Tomas rant.
There you go.
And I already know. I didn't even ask you. Like, I will in the future say, hey, you know, prepare yourself. But I didn't say that this week because I already have.
I don't ever have to prepare myself.
I know what we're going to talk about. I'm going to turn that little screw in the back there, and then get them all wound up. And
he's ready to pop at any time. Yeah. He doesn't need to prepare.
It's going to be, you pick a topic, and
I'll blow up.
All right. No.
There you go.
And then obviously we'll have our injury report a little later. And then we also have Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans, and he's going to be our NFC South correspondent. So he's going to come in every week, talk a little NFC South, let us know what he thinks about the different teams, give us some different perspectives. So then, of course, we're going to have our Pick'em League again.
Yes.
This year, last year, $100 for the winner.
Yep.
This year, we're doing $160.
Wow.
Hey.
Prize money. Now, doing a little different. We're going to spread it out a little bit.
All right, Heath, you and I got to go under anonymous name.
The employees here cannot participate. Well, that's why they're going to pick a name, and then they're going to send me an email. I'm going to see where the email address is from or something. I'm going to look up. I'm going to have to check the IP addresses, make sure we got it. All right, so those of you who want to join the league, it's a Yahoo Pick'em League. The ID number is 30242. That's 30242. And the password, believe it or not, wait for it.
Inventive.
BS and beer. That's BSANDBEER. BS and beer. Join the league. It doesn't cost anything. The only thing that's required is that you actually listen to the show. We give out a weekly code word.
Yeah.
And it could be anything. And, you know, listen, last year, you don't have to know them all. You just need to know most of them. You know, we're going to expect that you've listened to the show and you understand it.
Right.
Because, actually, Little Dice won last year and he was bragging on the internet the other day.
Yeah.
The thing about it, he actually didn't win it. The person who won it didn't listen to the show and couldn't prove that they listened to
it. That's right.
But anyway, it's a fun league. Come and join it. But I tell you what, guys, let's get this show started, huh?
Tech Guy on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated. It's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
A limited liability. That's how you have to do it nowadays.
Right.
You don't want to get sued.
Got to protect yourself.
Matter of fact, one of the things we'll talk about, I don't know what category it'd be under, Willie Snead got suspended, and the news broke recently that Ezekiel Elliott ends up getting his 6-game suspension upheld. Matter of fact, I have a man on the beach with this woman who was giving me a hard time calling us the Aints and said she was a Cowboy fan.
Oh,
so
Lord.
I gave her a little bit of what for. But anyway, Tomas.
Yes. Well, I'm just saying, look, if Willie's going to get 3-game suspension for blowing 12 instead of 8. Now, I don't know, but in New Orleans, is 12 an issue?
No, I think in New Orleans,
I don't know. Speaking for myself, I know that I could easily blow a 20, and I'd still be walking a straight line. I can't speak for everybody else, but
I think I saw where he entered. They putting him in a program or something. What happened to the New Orleans I lived in?
I don't know.
You know.
Things have changed. That's all I can say.
I'm just wondering how many times he drove through the daiquiri shop, you know, how many drive-through daiquiris did he go through
to
get
that? In New Orleans, when you get in an accident, you use the beer bottles to explain to the cops what happened.
Exactly.
Well, this is your car. The car was coming from this way.
That's right.
And I'm not sure exactly how this all went down, and I can't imagine when you say, well, I'm a Saints player, and the cops still arrest you. Anyway, there's the music.
And you're only blowing 12.
There's the music. We're going to be right back. It's ESPN 97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's September, baby.
Partying like it's 1979.
There you go.
That's a little Earth, Wind, and Fire. Don't play around. Don't make jokes. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. ESPN 97.7 here at the SEC Sports Pub. Man, I tell you what, it's the excitement's in the air. It's September, man. It's football time.
It's in the air. Okay.
It's in the air. Yeah. Okay, you caught me off guard there. I'm like, what? Hey, okay. So you were talking a little bit earlier, Tomas. If you can get your composure back,
I'm fine. I have no problem.
You were talking about the Willie Snead incident.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got arrested. And I think I may have a clue why. I think they really, it's really becoming a thing that they're emphasizing now. And just listen to the public service announcement.
This is a public service announcement paid for by the citizens of Boudreaux Parish.
This summer, police officers are cracking down.
Uh-oh.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmana of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department.
Yep.
Remember, if you're passing through my county, you better buckle up. It's not just a good idea, it's the law in these parts. And you need to obey the posted speed limit signs when you're passing through, because here at the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Feed Store Gun Shop Used Car Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Department, we take the safety of every single one of our 212 residents of Boudreaux Parish
212?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Remember, in Boudreaux Parish, if you break the law, we will find you. And we may even tase you.
Oh, they take that serious. I mean, okay, there's a part
Sheriff
of me.
Sheriff Wilmot wears a lot of hats.
He does.
You know that?
Dude, have you ever been to one of those small towns?
I have.
Yeah, man, like go fishing at the lake or something.
Yeah.
They got everything right there, and the sheriff is the one behind the counter.
That's right.
Like, what can I help you with? It's hard to take them serious, though, but I think that might have something to do, things have changed. Things have changed. Okay.
Right, I guess so.
Okay, so now it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
No, what? I don't think so.
What? That's... Okay, now what are you going to... What?
It's the good.
Oh, yeah.
The bad and the ugly.
Oh, okay. You see, that's why I have to keep these guys
look,
around.
Look, it's easy to remember. You say, Tomas, Dave, and Heath. There you go.
Oh, okay. Wait. Yeah. Heath, I think he just called you ugly.
I mean, you know what?
You resemble those remarks.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't even argue with you.
I know.
Hey, man, you got a charming personality,
I was getting ready
though.
To say something, and I saw my reflection in that glass. I didn't know. Let me shut
up.
He
was stunned.
The charming personality makes up for it. I'm not mad at you at all. All
right.
You a bounty hunter? Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and Ugly.
Easy for her to say.
I didn't remember that. Yeah, that sounds like me on the beach over in Cancun.
At some point.
I can't believe you had them kids out there, Dave.
I know. It gets rough.
Man.
It gets rough. You need somebody to help
you
out there.
Go get the beer, huh?
Yeah. All right. Let's get this back on the rails here. So, the good. Where do we start? We're just going to shotgun this. We have a whole 6 week period of time.
All right.
Tomas, give me a good thing that you noticed or appreciated during.
Do you want me to give you the macro first and then the micro?
I'm a little confused by what all that means. So yeah, it sounds good. I'm not
the
a big
defense.
Fish guy, but anyway.
There you go. The defense.
Okay, yes. In general, the defense, absolutely.
There you go.
I agree. So,
preseason, what, we finished two and second in the league? In preseason now.
Yeah.
It's preseason.
And there is a correlation between, in years past.
I saw that.
Between our defensive statistics in the preseason and how the season rolls. So I think that, I would think that no one would disagree that the defense looked better for these four preseason games. Whether they were playing vanilla part of the time or they started to incorporate some of the actual playbook. Whether they were playing against second, third, fourth string and Little Sisters of the Poor. It doesn't make any difference. I think they looked better. So that's the big picture. That's
okay. One of the things I would say about defense, and this is where it kind of gets gray, is, and I said defense, I mean preseason, is, okay, a team that's not playing well and maybe has a new defensive coordinator and they end up playing their starters longer, so then the statistics starts getting skewed.
But we didn't.
That's the point I was going to make, is I feel like there's a little more validity to it because we didn't just play starters well into the second quarter and into the third quarter. Even are like in the fourth preseason game. I'm not saying they played extremely well, but they looked tenacious. It wasn't just a lay down and die kind of defense. Now, having said that, on the other side of the ball, you know, the offense kind of looked like that. But anyway, So Heath, give me a thought of what you think good.
Well, I agree on defense, and I'll take a part of that for the micro.
There you go.
I know where Tomas is going to go, so I'll go somewhere different. I'm going to say we actually got pressure on a quarterback.
There you go. Absolutely. I mean, we got pressure from guys that we didn't even expect it.
And from the inside and from the outside.
Absolutely. You know, in the offseason, we lost fairly.
Right.
And where are we going to replace his production? Rankins.
That's why you were looking at McDaniel.
I don't think I was looking at anybody
like
that.
You were looking at a man with tenure, you know, with experience, for a veteran.
I guess at some point for our new audience, the people out in northern Louisiana who don't know what's going on here. We've been together long enough. Everybody knows how to push each other's buttons. And, I don't even get upset because Tomas will just put anything on me. Well, that was Dave's guy. I don't even know who that guy is. So anyway, whoever does bad, no, that was Dave's guy. You like him. So, but anyway.
There's more coming, but go ahead.
I'm certain of it. Rankins has played well. Now, again, I want to remind that this is preseason.
Right.
But Rankins showed what we expected from him.
Yeah.
Another guy. My guy.
Your guy, yeah.
My guy from Canada, David Onyemata.
Yep.
Man, he played the run well. He's a big, strong, athletic guy. He can push the pocket a little bit.
Yep.
So I'm not trying to say that he's going to be as productive as Fairley, at least not at this point. But I think that he proved that he can step up and he can play a serious, important role on the interior of the defensive line.
You called him the key to the defense, I believe. Is that how you put it?
Is that what I called it?
I think you did.
You know my memory. You know my memory.
You said he was the key to the whole thing was whether he could step up.
I don't know if I emphasized it that much, but I did. I did write an article, and I said that he was one. Him and Ramchek were the two guys that would be the biggest key to our success.
But what he definitely showed was he's taken a big step from where he was last year.
Yep.
And so.
So
expect good things.
Anyway, so that's your good for this portion of it.
Yep.
I would say that my good is the rookie class. Since we're going big picture right now, right?
Right.
The whole rookie class.
Yes. On defense, you're talking about.
You guys are talking about the entire team. Our whole rookie class. I wrote another article. Now that I think about it. and it was basically every one of our rookies was going to end up making the team and having a pretty significant role.
Yeah.
The guy I said wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, Muhammad. Yeah. The guy with four sacks.
Yeah. Wound up leading the league in the preseason.
So, I mean, what a haul. I mean, this can go down as one of the all-time best.
One of the best, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. Arguably.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the all-time best rookie draft classes ever.
Yeah.
You have 86, which was my favorite. I mean, you're talking about guys that didn't even necessarily produce for the Saints. Dalton Hilliard, Reuben Mays, Dombrowski.
Yeah.
But guys who didn't even – I don't know if they didn't make it. I was too young to remember this. And, you know, I can't remember about the article that I wrote about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But do you remember a guy named Barry Word?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went on to, the Chiefs?
The Chiefs,
It was like a – he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was part of that draft
class.
Until
he got on the coke, I believe.
Yeah, I think he hit that train.
And Chuck.
Yeah. Back then, that must have been a thing, man.
Yeah, you know,
Matter of fact, it was like the 80s or whatever, I'm sure. the late bloomers, 70s. Right, Tomas? Sit back and tell us.
I could.
Sit back and tell us about the good old days.
I was there. I experienced life during that time.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was just.
I know. You see, you try to throw it at me, but you can't do it.
I was a twinkle in my dad's eye back then.
You weren't even an afterthought or a beforethought, but that's okay.
All right, so let's do a bad.
All right,
Tomas, you have something in mind?
Yeah, for the bad.
Bad ugly. All right.
Bad ugly.
You see, okay, bad ugly.
Well, bad ugly. If we have to go that way, bad ugly. I would say the entire. Game being played at who's going to be the long snapper for.
Yeah.
It was a magical ride. It was. Yes.
I like the fellow from Philadelphia that we've got.
He's talented.
But you know, you have to be able to iron out these things as soon as you can, because once the season is in, you've got to have confidence number one hits number two, puts it on the floor, so number three can hit it, and you've got your points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's just that simple. One, two, three.
Way to break it down, baby. Yeah, I like it. No, and you are right. I mean, the bottom line, it shouldn't be that complicated. And in the last preseason game when he did snap, there were some issues.
Well,
and
it was the very first
talking.
One. Yeah. It's the first kick that my boy missed in the entire preseason. But it was because you had a new guy, Lutz, you had a new guy snapping a ball, and it didn't go exactly where it was supposed to go. Okay. Then you lose. We originally had Chase Daniel. No S. being the holder. Well, he torques that ankle, and so now we go back to Morstead being the holder. So all of those things, you have to have the consistency between 1, 2, 3. So to me, that was the bad and the ugly together. Simply because it took too long to come to that decision, in my opinion. We should have known early on those two other guys weren't going to make it. They didn't really want to keep what they had before. That was obvious. So they should have made a more concerted effort. Now, we only gave up a 7th-round draft choice. It's like, really?
Yeah.
He had, I mean, to give up anything for a draft. At the end of the day, the problem
is
solved.
Yeah, you know? He is.
Yeah, it's not like he gave up a 7th-rounder
for a young guy. That's, you know,
he's what, 36?
37, I think.
37?
Yeah, he's a pretty cool
fellow. Yeah, Lee's like getting up there, man. He's getting up there, yeah. Everybody who's listening is now upset with us. Like, 37, that's not
in
old.
In the football world, that's old.
Yeah, in the football world, that is ancient.
But I would say this. What else does he do?
Nothing. And that's the thing.
Well,
that's why you can get away
from
with
hats.
Aside from magic tricks.
Oh, okay.
And I feel
which
like.
Which he's really good at.
No,
he is,
I feel like I don't want to. Like, it's been talked about so much, but I feel like it's our responsibility. For those of you who don't know, we traded with the Eagles
right.
a 7th-round pick for a deep snapper named John Dornbos. Am I
that's
saying
correct.
It right?
Yep.
And he's a magician.
Yep.
I have a problem saying, is he a musician or a
magician?
Magician.
And he's actually a really good one.
Yeah.
He was on
America's Got Talent.
Came in like 3rd place.
Yeah, something
and then
like that.
And then people are just pulling up different videos of him, like on morning shows or whatever.
and then he
was in the Saints locker room and he was doing a trick.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, he's really good. So
Yeah.
Apparently, he has a really deep story that I haven't dug into yet about his childhood that's really touching. Mm-hmm. But I think that let's move on to Heath. And get another bad ugly.
Bad ugly. Okay, so I'm going to go right to the ugly.
All right.
Since that's what I do, apparently.
That's it. That's your thing.
But it's the ugliest.
Go ahead.
Has to be backup quarterback play.
You stole mine.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this is just Chase Daniel. I don't know what happened to him. I was sad when he left. I was glad to hear we got him back. Now I know why he bounced from Kansas City to Philadelphia and all around, because he didn't show anything whatsoever.
He didn't, but I'm sorry. You have anything else you want to? Because
and even less so was our busted 3rd-round pick, Garrett Grayson.
Oh, my
Grayson.
God, stop it.
Okay, and then just to finish it off, we brought in Nassib, if it wasn't bad enough.
Yeah.
So I think it's changed his name back to Nassib.
Nassib. That's right. It's his brother's Nassib, and he's Nassib.
Yeah, they look
whatever.
Confused. Although Kamara has the same thing. I guess it's his mom says it's Kamara, and he says it's Kamara.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess whatever you want to call it.
Kamaro.
Kamaro, yeah. Porsche.
Yeah.
So my bad ugly would be the offensive line after the starters.
Yeah.
Our offensive line at one point I thought was very deep.
Yeah.
And it probably was until we had so many injuries. So we get Unger back. That's a blessing.
Right.
We get we have a good first-round draft pick who's developing, and I think he has a bright future in Ramczyk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't go to the positive yet, but the positive on this is that our depth is getting stronger because Armstead, the starting left tackle, is they didn't even put him on the PUP list. Now, again, for those who don't understand, the physically unable to perform list. He was injured before training camp. They put him on this list. They could have put him on the regular season PUP, which would allow him 6 weeks to get healthy, then make a decision. After 6 weeks, they either put him on IR or they activate him. Then he would have 2 weeks to practice.
Right.
They obviously think he's going to be ready before that. And the reason we're excited about that is because initially we were thinking he was going to be out for the season. Now, Tomas, has that smug look that he likes to do, that just basically you guys out there can't see it, but Tomas is telling me I'm wrong with his eyes. Tomas, go ahead. Give me your thoughts. Let's hear it.
No, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Oh, well, thank you.
My disagreement
comes... That's a first, huh?
My disagreement comes with what the Saints have done. I really don't think that Armstead... I mean, they can be as positive as they want to be. I don't believe that Armstead's going to be ready. So, therefore, I would say it would have been better to put him on PUP and bring him back up to two. Now, if they put Bro on IR, they can still bring him back. So, they could have actually brought back two players.
Right. I'm sure they want to save one.
Well, Bro is on IR.
Right. So. But they could have left, since it happened before.
Right.
They could have left Armstead on PUP. Then they could have brought back two. Okay.
Tomas, good point. Let's take the break. We'll come back and we'll discuss that a little bit more in the next hour. Don't forget, a little bit later, we're going to have Tomas's rant. You're not going to want to miss it. A little game preview in the next hour, an hour or two. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's ESPN Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer podcast.
Welcome back. It's Dave Romero. It's Heath Elson-San. It's Tomas Mauricio, the man,
sir.
The myth, the legend.
That's me.
Listen, it's ESPN 97.7 here in northern Louisiana. It's they call it a blowtorch. I had no idea. It's huge. It's a big deal.
It's huge.
It's amazing. Listen.
What is it called again?
It's a blowtorch.
A blowtorch.
I mean, what don't you guys laugh at? You are a walking laugh track.
Well,
I mean,
when something is humorous, you react to it.
Okay. Well,
we're still children, Dave.
Yeah,
that's right.
I believe it.
What happens when you put three grown men together talking football?
Right.
And you say, blowtorch. Okay, I made
all right,
my point.
Okay, listen, this is a family show.
Let's
just
move
like
on.
Disneyland.
Moving along.
It's a family kind of thing.
All right.
Got to keep it that way.
I apologize.
Right. It's a blowtorch.
Blowtorch.
All right. So anyway, last segment, we were talking about the PUP situation with Delvin Bro, who's a cornerback for the Saints, who got injured. The whole misdiagnosis thing.
Yeah.
Now the Saints put him on IR, which means that he will be unavailable. Now, there are two designations to return. That means that once they place a guy on IR, and God, I just don't know how far back I need to explain this, but in the past, once you went on IR, you
that
were
was
done.
The next year. Yeah.
Yep. Then at one point, a couple of years back, they said you can bring one guy back from IR. Right. Then just recently, they decided you can now do two. So, this is where, before I had to cut Tomas off going into the next segment and going into the break, he was making a pretty valid point about why would the Saints not just leave Armstead on the PUP list. And as I mentioned earlier, the PUP list, he was on it before training camp.
Right.
And if they didn't take him off of that list, he could have stayed on it for 6 weeks. Then once they designate him to return, after 6 weeks, they have to either bring him back or put him on IR.
Right.
Then he needs 2 weeks to return. Okay, so we set the stage for that. Bro is already on IR.
Right.
Those are the two best players at this point that are on IR.
Right, because there are a couple other people on IR already.
And those are the guys most likely, definitely would be the ones that you would want to bring back and have on the team. Mm-hmm. So your point was, why would the Saints take Armstead off of the PUP list?
Right.
And my initial reaction was, they must think that he's ready. They must think that he is ready to play sooner than 8 weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then you brought up a different idea that I didn't really consider, but it's very Ochsner-esque.
I'm just saying to you, look, when you look at the record of Armstead, the man plays hurt. There's no doubt that he's played hurt, and we appreciate that he's played hurt. However, how many times have they brought him back, said, okay, he's ready to go, and then they have to take him out again? Oh, well, he's not quite ready yet. Another week. Are you setting yourself up for the same thing? And as I said to you, they did not have to make a decision because he was placed on PUP before the required date. So that means he doesn't count. Not until, as you said, at the end of 6 weeks, you got to say, okay, is he going to stay and go on permanent IR, or are you going to bring him back? So at that point, they could have made a good, with a new medical team, they could have made a good diagnosis at that point and said, okay, here's where we are. Because what I heard from before was that the earliest he would be back would be the end of October, beginning of November.
Which would almost almost have been perfect.
You could have said 6 weeks, and then even if it would have been taken an extra 3 weeks, you still didn't have it count against you. You know, this way, you know, now he's on the active roster. That is one extra position that we don't have now.
Right.
And so we won't have.
Yeah. So it basically, I mean, it boils down to, is he ready or is, you know, or is he going to be ready before that period?
Right.
Or is he not?
Right.
And I agree with you with Armstead's
past
injury
history.
Yeah. Man, I would be extra cautious with him.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that, that the Saints should be cautious with him. And I actually appreciate you guys' perspective because that just didn't occur to me. I just assumed, man, he must be ready to go if they didn't put him on the PUP or they took him off the PUP.
We would like to have that confidence.
Right, right, right.
Okay, but when you look at the Saints' injury history as a whole over the last several years.
Right.
And then you look at the incident with the misdiagnosis and the dismissal of medical personnel. And then you look specifically at Armstead's history. Man, I'm not confident in anybody.
No,
anybody's ready.
And you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be.
And like I said, it took a spot off the roster that we could have used for something else.
And here's another thing. At one point, our backup tackle, or at least he was a backup tackle in training camp, and he was on the squad last year, Bryce Harris.
Yeah.
Not a guy that I have a lot of confidence in. Well,
he plays better than your boy Barnes.
Yeah, not interested in having Barnes back either. But at one point,
he's your boy, though.
Yeah, I take possession. I take possession. Here's the thing: is that they didn't have. He was cut at the final cutdown.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so at one point, we had two tackles on the team.
Right.
We had Streif on the right tackle, and Ramczyk at the left tackle. And then this is where my mentality went that way. The only backup tackle on the roster per se was Armstead, who was just taken off the PUP. So I'm like, what are they doing? I mean, and he can't be ready now.
Well, of course, you got Calamente.
Yeah.
And you got Calamente. You
could slide Pete out.
That's
right.
That's why I said per se.
Yeah.
That's my big word.
Yeah. Pete's always looking to get into a different position. That guy don't like to stay in one spot.
No, Yeah. Exactly. You know how we love to move him around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I tell you what, we do have to talk about a camp beast because our friend, contributor to the show, follower, friend of the show, I should say, Little Dice.
Yeah.
Who did I tell you he was all over the internet bragging about when he saw bragging about all the money he won last year for our pick'em contest. Yep. You're not going to want to miss the pick'em contest. It's easy money if you know what you're doing, because I tell you what, nobody behind these mics came even close last year. So the money is there to be won.
Who finished highest, though?
I'm not sure. Who was that? Who was that? Do you remember? Was it? Oh, okay. You either getting sick? You either getting sick or it was you? I'm not sure.
I vote for Heath.
Well, yeah.
I think it's both,
you know what?
Actually.
It might have been Heath. But I tell you what, we have to pick a camp beast.
I'm a beast, Your Honor. Okay? I'm a beast. That's what I do. Okay? She knew this when she met me. Now all of a sudden she got a problem with it.
He's a beast, Your Honor. Yep, he's a beast.
That's right.
All right. We got to pick a camp beast, and we'll do that in a little bit. Before I do that, we haven't told everybody about our hotline. It's the BS and Beer Graffiti Hotline. Listen, this is the way it works. You call up, you leave a message, keep it under a minute, ask whatever question. Yeah,
so
of course, if you want it to be on the radio,
right.
We're dealing with the FFA now.
That's right.
Future Farmers of America.
That's correct.
So, you know, those guys are difficult. Yeah. So, listen, you got to keep it clean. You got to ask a question. It could be a statement. It could be whatever you want, and then we'll reply to it. So that number.
Or respond to it.
Or respond to it. Whichever. What the difference?
One is if you ask a question. One is if you make a statement.
Oh, okay. Let's see. All right. So that number, 701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline.
Yep.
That's 701-901-1295. And we'll have an example of that here a little bit later on in the show.
All right.
Also, you can email us at bsnbeer@icloud.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at SaintsBS, and I know I'd like Tomas has about 6 Twitter accounts.
The one that counts for this one is BSNBeer Hoodat.
Hoodat.
That's right.
And Heath is actually on there, and I always feel like I neglect him, but nobody can ever find out who he is because they can't spell his name.
That's my homework assignment that I'm still working on, to put a different attachment to my name that's easier to find.
We'll get it all worked out. All right, so what we have to do, though, and I think we do this every year, we're going to have to write it down at some point.
Yeah.
What defines a camp beast?
Right.
How do you define a camp beast?
I would say that it would be the one player that stood out, not just in practice, but in game situations as well. Because it can't be just, well, he did great in practice, and then he choked in the game.
You see,
it has to be both.
I think this is where our communication breaks down, because I don't look at camp beast as a positive thing. I look at camp beast, when I think of camp beast, it's somebody that all the fans are excited about. And they did a couple of things.
All right, we can go that way, too.
And all the fans are excited about them, and they're all over the internet talking about how great this player is. And then when finally comes time, he fizzles out and doesn't make the team. That's how when I see a
camp. I can go with that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I think that's right.
Yeah. All right, we'll go with that, then.
Okay. So we'll have to figure it out. We'll bring it up in the next segment.
All right.
But we also have that special segment that we're going to have to share a little time, Tomas.
What's that?
Because it's a Tomas rant.
Yeah.
And if you haven't heard a Tomas rant, you haven't lived life, really. Yeah.
Just listen to the intro, and that'll tell you all you need to know.
Again, this, especially to our newest audience, guys in northern Louisiana on ESPN 97.7.
And we're happy to be here.
And we're very happy to be here and happy and hoping that you're enjoying the show. Think about it. This is not new to us. We've been doing this for a long time.
Right.
So we know what you're about to experience, and you're going to do it. Matter of fact, I should say this. For those of you who are listening to it, maybe you're stopping over at Home Depot or something, and you're picking something up or whatever it is that you're doing, and you catch the show and you want to listen to more of it, it is a podcast.
That's right.
So you can go on iTunes or Google Play, look up BSN Beer Saints, and you'll find the podcast. You'll find this show. Podbeam is another one. If you just get to the point where you're like, man, I missed a segment or what have you, you're glued to the radio. But maybe the emergency thing comes on and you got to turn the radio because that's the only possible way you'd miss the show.
Yeah.
You could always pick it up on the podcast version.
That's right.
All right. Did you guys hear about the contract that Matthew Stafford got?
Yes,
I did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think there are huge implications. Huge implications for the Saints next year. Drew Brees is going to tie the Saints up by their toes.
Yeah.
And just own them.
Yeah.
And anyone who thinks that Drew Brees is about, listen, I love Drew Brees, so don't you know. But if you think he's about hometown discounts and the buddy program and oh man, he's at the end of his career, he doesn't care about that. He just wants to win.
Yeah.
I think that people may be mistaken.
Well, and he has the same agent.
He sent him that text saying, "Wow."
Yeah.
Anyway, it's ESPN 97.7. It's the BS and Beer podcast. Don't go away.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
I'm a beast. I'm not a dog, I'm a beast. All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.7, Sports Talk Radio. And the BS and Beer podcast. Listen, this is the segment. I didn't intend it this way. We were talking about Camp Beast last segment, and I have the best segue ever. Why don't you give me your Camp Beast? I'm going second.
You going second?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going second.
I'm going last.
All right. Okay. Well, I think my Camp Beast is going to be Adam Big Hill.
Oh, you got me.
Oh, I got you.
This guy is terrible. Listen. Whoever thought he had
a chance terrible.
To make the team.
I don't
team.
Know what you were watching. He's not terrible.
But watch, I'm just winding up that little thing behind Tomas.
Yeah, I got you.
Listen, Adam Big Hill, they should call him Adam Big Heart, okay?
Because
he got a big heart, but he does not have the athleticism. And here's the problem. When you got a guy like Stephon Anthony, step back for those of you who don't really understand, Stephon Anthony, linebacker, first-round draft pick a couple of years ago, showed some promise, then started being, well, maybe he didn't have the mental constitution to pick up the position, but he's shown some plays, some promise. He's still on the team.
Yeah.
Big Hill is gone. A lot of people question that. A lot of people question that because not only was he a fan favorite or a camp beast, if you will.
That's right.
He got in the fourth preseason game against a bunch of other guys who are going to be working at McDonald's this week. And he ended up playing really well, and he made a lot of plays. He also had some plays in that game where there were opportunities he couldn't get to the hole quick enough, or there were a couple of missed tackles that and this may sound silly, but he has those little short arms.
Yeah.
He's a thick boy, and with short arms, he couldn't kind of like – you ever see those – what are those the dinosaurs?
T-Rex.
T-Rex. You know, like – couldn't get his arms around there. I know this is working because Tomas has not said a word yet.
Yeah.
So without –
anytime he starts looking at the phone and all these –
Yeah, and he's like just doing his thing. But without further ado –
oh, my God, it's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me.
It's going to blow. It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
That's true.
And she will.
True that.
It is a mathematical certainty.
It's a mathematical certainty. Tomas, you have any thoughts on what I just said? Okay, so let me set this up. I didn't mean to do it this way, although I wanted to talk about Adam Big Hill, but the whole thing with the Camp Beast came up. And okay, so we are sitting down. Was it the night of the LSU game?
Yes,
it was.
The LSU game.
Yeah. So I'm just sitting there minding my own business. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Tomas sends me a hateful text message. It was hateful. Something like, oh, I guess your boy Stephon Anthony made the team. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I said something back, and then I'm like, oh, man, LSU's about to play. I'm all excited. And then he said, well, yeah. I can't remember. We can find that thread. And then I'm like, I said, man, were you mad or something? I'm not mad. I guess you – I was like – oh, I bet. So then I started poking him a little bit, and I said, wait a minute, that's my buddy, and if I get him too mad, I don't want him to be all upset with me. So anyway, and he's sitting there with this big old smile on his face. That's not going to make for a good Tomas rant.
Well, I can certainly talk about the situation with Little Hill and your boy, S.A. I believe that our defense has the possibility of playing much better. I don't mean a little better. We talked last year, for those of you who missed it, we were talking about how our defense, if we could just move up a couple of notches, we thought, wow, you know, if we could go from, you know, 31 to 28, boy, that'd be a great increase. 27, wow, that'd be spectacular. Well, in my opinion, I don't see why we can't, with the current players that we have starting on this defense, why we can't be actually middle of the pack. I don't see why we can't be in that 15 to 18 number. And if we're in the 15 to 18 and our offense is in the top five, we've got a good shot at doing a lot of good things this season. So my position when Mr. Romero sent me a text was simply that I felt that as a special teams player and as a backup, I felt that Big Hill was a better match at this point than Stephon. Now, I understand. The Saints invested a first-round draft choice. So they want to wait to the very end before they go, oh, we screwed up again. They don't want to admit it at this point. And like I said today, my opinion of Stephon Anthony, yeah, athletic guy. Great, fantastic. But we don't play the kind of defense that says, look, son, just go out there and tackle the guy with the ball. Like, that's not the kind of defense we play. He led the team in tackles his first year. Yeah, 15, 20 yards down the field. Good thing that he's athletic and catch up with somebody. Because he didn't tackle anybody at the line of scrimmage. So, again, if you look at the statistics, and when we talk about, well, you know, Tomas, those offensive statistics can be very deceiving because, you know, it's a lot of garbage yards. Okay, well, his statistics can be very deceiving as well. Because if you look up and you see how many tackles he had when the other player had a first down, you're going to be shocked at how many tackles. Well, he had a lot of tackles. Yeah. But he couldn't read a single play. And our coach has said that. Our defensive coordinator has said that. He has a difficult time assessing whether it's a run or a pass. Well, dude, you can't play linebacker if you don't know if it's going to be a run or a pass. And again, last year, let's go back to last year. How many times did they bring him in inside the red zone and he got beat? Oh, he cut the wrong way. Oh, he missed the guy cutting across the red. I don't care how athletic you are. If you can't be in the right place, even if you've got short arms, if you're in the right damn place, okay, at least you can do something. You know? So, to me, that's my rant on it. God bless him. I have nothing personally against Stephon Anthony. God bless him. But I'm talking about my team. My team has a chance this year to make the playoffs at least, and maybe even go further than that. Because, you know, I'm a home. So, I want to make sure. He's not going to be a starter anyway. You know, he's going to be a backup. So, you said he plays special teams. Where? Where he plays special teams? Big Hill plays special teams. He was down on that block, blocking people out. Okay, I'm good with that. So my rant is simply this. Let's make sure we pick the best players. Forget about all that. Don't even get me started on Fleener.
All right, now we're ready for a Heath rant.
You know, because they actually tried to pick up a tight end.
Man, leave Fleener alone, man.
Well, okay.
I tell you what, and I agree with you, and Sean Payton is the guy that everybody has the impression, whether it actually happens or not, is doesn't matter how you got here.
That's correct.
I think everybody's living off of that. What was his name? Pittman, back when they kept.
Yeah, the kid from Ohio State or whatever.
Antonio Pittman.
Yeah, they kept Thomas.
Yeah, Pierre Thomas.
Pierre Thomas, and let Pittman, who was a fourth-round draft pick, go.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Got picked up by Cincinnati and got cut again.
The reputation builds that he's a guy, doesn't matter how you got here. Right. Having said that, you know, I knew that Stephon Anthony would make the team, not because I felt like he was a better player. I just knew that the circumstances. Having said that, not that he's not the better player, and I think this is the problem, is the Saints have not yet convinced themselves that he can't do it.
Right.
And now you have a new linebacker coach in Coach Nolan. He's a guru. If he feels that he can do something with Anthony, the last thing that they want to do is get rid of him.
See, I don't think it was up to Coach Nolan. I think it came down to Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis sitting there and going, you know, we invest a lot of money in this guy. If we cut him, how much money do we have to pay him? How much dead money do we still have going against us? I mean, they figured a lot out.
No, absolutely.
You know, and then they said, you know, not worth it. Let's keep him one more year. And if he doesn't pan out after this year, then it's not such a big hit against us. And I think that's what it is.
And I mean, okay.
And they put Big Hill on the developmental squad anyway.
Yeah, and he's there. So. The problem is the guy's 28 years old. So, I mean, I don't know how much development. Because here's the thing. I don't think he lacks development. Yeah, sure, some experience in the NFL as opposed to the Canadian League where he was an all-star.
Right.
So it's not like he needs to learn how to play some ball. A little bit of this, a little work on that.
I think they just stashed him there for the first injury. He'll be back
in. Yeah, and that's the key to it, too, is that, like, whatever the roster is right now, it's not going to be even close to that by the time of the season.
The first announcement of the 53, I said this is just the first of many final 53s to come. And we've seen that already.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. We got our first Tomas rant out of the way. Feel good about yourself there?
I didn't go too far.
He wasn't worked up.
Tame, yeah.
He wasn't as worked up as I was trying to get him.
Yeah,
but,
you tried, but you couldn't.
But couldn't do it. Anyway, ESPN Sports Talk, 97.7, the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll be right back.